Hey guys, it turns out your mom was right the whole time. You really might be what you eat. We're looking at functional nutrition and talking to functional nutrition coach Amanda Malacheski about how we can affect our physical and mental health with what we put in our bodies. So put down that coffee or pick it up. I don't know yet. We're going to have to ask the coach. I'm your host, Emma Brakan, and that's what we're talking about on Through the Eyes of Women right here and now on KHSU. Welcome to Through the Eyes of Women, a program about the lives and perspectives of women local, national, and international. Hi, how are you today? Are you feeling a little tired or wired? Ever get sluggish after a big meal or get a headache from forgetting to eat? That's because nutrition is real. We know what kind of gas to put in our car, and we know what kind of ink goes in our printers, but many of us are still mystified by the needs of our own bodies. Functional nutrition coach Amanda Malacheski says that we can fine-tune our nutrition to help our physical and even mental health, and even treat depression and anxiety. Hi, Amanda. Welcome to Through the Eyes of Women.
Hi, Emma. Thank you so much for having me.
Very glad to be talking to you today. Can you help us out? First of all, what is a functional nutrition coach?
Yes, excellent question, and it's a question that's sometimes hard to answer a little bit. So functional nutrition and functional medicine is more the familiar term often, is medical care and nutrition care that's aimed at resolving health conditions from the root cause level. So I think we're probably all familiar with the more conventional model, which typically is maybe trying to help us with those symptoms that we're experiencing, but it doesn't really do too much to help us figure out why they're happening and what we might be able to do to get rid of them permanently. From the root cause. And so functional nutrition and functional medicine work to figure out what is underneath all those symptoms, what are the things that led to their emergence, and what could be done to get rid of them. And it also really focuses on very heavily on a process of using very individualized protocols and treatments and approaches, so very individualized care.
And Amanda, what did you have for breakfast today?
This morning I had some leftover dinner, rice served with some homemade teriyaki chicken and some leftover vegetables. It was a saute of onions and zucchini and mushrooms with a little bit of vinegar and salt and herbs in it.
Was it white rice or brown?
It was white rice.
Did you put a lot of thought into it, or was it just something that you can do on autopilot now?
Well, at this point, my food is very much on autopilot, but there was a time when I had to sort of think a lot about how I was putting things together and create some new habits, essentially. But yeah, at this point, every morning I eat leftover dinner from yesterday, pretty much.
And what is your origin story, Amanda? How did you get into functional nutrition?
Yeah, that's a great question. Thank you for asking. So I'm 42 now, and when I arrived at age 38, just a few years ago, I suddenly found I was having a lot of severe health problems. I was in a lot of pain every single day. I was experiencing a lot of depression and anxiety symptoms, panicky phobia kinds of anxiety, and this is physical anxiety where my body just felt really uncomfortable. And I found that I was feeling really frustrated with a lot of digestive problems that were going on. I had insomnia. I was having a lot of trouble sleeping, and my hair was falling out, and all kinds of things were going on. And my cycle was changing. And, you know, between all these things, when I would have these pain flares in the middle of the night, I really thought, gosh, you know, I must have cancer. Like, I don't know what else would be causing all of these things to feel like my body is just completely failing. You know, I did what most people would probably do when things get severe. I went to talk with my doctor, and, you know, although she was very compassionate and was willing to investigate some things for me, all of my testing turned up basically normal. Aside from, I was around that time given a diagnosis of endometriosis, which is an inflammatory disease where tissue that's like what's inside the uterus is existing outside of the uterus in the body cavity, and so it responds to hormones every month, to your monthly hormone cycle, just like the inside of your uterus when you have a period. The tissue grows and then sheds and bleeds. And so this bleeding inside the body cavity but not inside the uterus can cause a lot of inflammation and pain. So my doctor had birth control pills for me. That was about all she could offer. And I very clearly knew in my heart that that may have helped a little bit, but that was by no means a complete solution or had anything to do with fixing what was really wrong. And so I had to start learning. I had to start studying. I had to start investigating and digging and trying to figure out, like, what is all of this stuff going on in my body? What is it telling me? And through kind of a convoluted process, I ended up discovering the functional health space, which I hadn't really been aware of previously, and I really wish I had been much earlier. But I discovered that there was this whole arm of medical care and nutrition that was aimed at figuring out and identifying and addressing the root causes of health complaints. And so pretty early on in my study there, I found a training program called Functional Diagnostic Nutrition. As soon as I could muster the money that I needed to start this training program, I dove in, and it's really like I haven't looked back since in any way, shape, or form. It's just so profoundly interesting to me and just makes sense. You know, I have a background in permaculture design, and so I really appreciate elegant design solutions that, you know, look at a problem and create a solution that really addresses the unique pieces of that problem and solves it.
I want to go back and review all the symptoms you said that you were dealing with. That sounds like a huge plateful of mental and physical pain. You said you were dealing with some anxiety, endometriosis, physical pain, some emotional suffering. There was probably a lot of suffering just from wondering what was going on. Did all of this come out of nowhere? How long were you dealing with this?
It's a great question, and it's one I spend a lot of time helping my clients sort out because everybody really has a unique story and evolution of their symptoms and illness. I think some of these issues appeared at earlier times. They'd sort of pop up, but then they'd resolve. And I had my first anxiety symptoms when I was a pretty young person. When I was just finishing high school is when they started. And I sometimes would feel some depression and kind of struggle with that, but, you know, never for a long period of time and, you know, never on an ongoing basis. I also had pain issues, but they would come and go, and I had kind of identified that I had some ovarian cysts, and that seemed to explain why that would happen sometimes. But the thing that really triggered all of this, and this is often the case for people, is that, you know, they've got some things going on. They've got sometimes I think about them kind of like programs running in the background. So, you know, I had some anxiety, I had some depression, I had some pain, I had endometriosis, but it wasn't that severe. And then I experienced a really severe stress. And, you know, I had a pretty high level of stress anyway in my life. At the time, my son was 2, and we had been building our house and doing all of our homestead things out here in Petrolia. And so, you know, running at a pretty high level of stress. But then my best friend that had been my dearest friend for over 20 years died of cancer. So that was just this really profound stress that really triggered a lot of symptoms. And then 2 months later, 2 more of my friends died of cancer. And so I think kind of the combination of, you know, the sort of pre-existing landscape for my symptoms and health issues, and then a major stress trigger. And then also, I just sort of happened to be in that perfect window of, you know, in our late 30s, our hormones do begin shifting. And I think my body was beginning to enter the perimenopause phase, so my hormones were beginning to shift. And our hormones very significantly impact our emotions and our ability to handle stress. And so lots of things all on top of the other kind of came together in that one moment and triggered all these other things. It really highlights how important and how significant stress can be in this unfolding of a health problem and how important it is to deal with it properly.
So is it fair to say that you were your first client?
Absolutely. Yes. And in fact, the training program that I completed, the first training program that I completed, looks at it that way. We are invited to run some functional lab tests on ourselves and interpret them with the help of our mentor and really study ourselves. And absolutely, as I worked through that course and all the others, I have been my own first guinea pig in terms of trying new things and exploring things and really getting a feel for, you know, how does this kind of approach affect the body and what does it feel like to add this nutrient and what does it feel like to try this technique.
So how does it work? You have a 4-step plan on your website. You have a 3-tier plan. So how do we make functional nutrition function? What are the steps?
The very first thing that we have to do is what my mentor and teacher called back it up. We really need to first gather a lot of information and start at the most root cause level that we can. And it kind of ends up looking like dealing with the low-hanging fruit. And so when people enter my practice, we first do a very thorough health history, and we really explore, you know, some of these factors that I was talking about in my own story. What are some of the significant stresses that have happened in your life? Have you ever traveled outside of the U.S.? Have you experienced any losses? What are some of the other health issues that you've experienced through your life? Childhood illnesses? What's your vaccine history? How were you born? What were the health issues of your parents and grandparents like even? So really, we sort of create this, what's called a functional timeline, and kind of map out a person's health history on a chronological timeline. And often just this process can highlight some really interesting clues and be like, oh, I never realized that that health problem immediately came after this other stress. I had never put those two things together and realized that that was the situation in this case. So once we have that timeline completed and we kind of map out the current health issues across the body systems, then we create a plan. But, you know, it's really common in the alternative medicine space for people to jump right to this space of offering lots of fancy protocols and treatment of, we got to get rid of heavy metals and we've got to clear up the gut. And often what we really need to focus on first are things like stress reduction, making sure somebody's moving their body every day, you know, within the limits that work for them. And we also have to spend a good bit of time just examining the diet and exploring what might be going into the body every day that actually might be causing inflammation or other kinds of irritation in the body. We begin here, and we also work very dedicatedly to supporting digestive function, because digestive function is really the heart of all of our health. We can't get very far if we're not digesting and able to absorb the nutrients that our body needs to do what it needs to do to maintain all of the behind-the-scenes biological processes that are constantly maintaining our cells and our organs and our body. And sometimes it takes quite a while to get through that process. And simultaneous to that, we will also look to see where there might be clues about nutrients that are missing, things like B vitamins or minerals like magnesium or zinc, some of these basic nutrients that are really involved in so many of our body's processes. Our body so often needs these nutrients to maintain everything that it does. And so if you've maybe not been eating the most high-quality diet for some time and you've had some health issues, your body may have used up some of your reserves of some of these really important nutrients, like magnesium, for example. And so supplementing with those key nutrients is really important to just support the body in being able to do the healing process. And so once we've backed it up and sort of cleaned up the diet and gotten the lifestyle, the sleep, the exercise, the stress reduction all kind of dialed in, and we've got the diet where we'd like it, and we've got nutrients on board that are sort of plugging leaks, so to speak, then if there's still issues going on, then we might start to look a little deeper and consider, what else is going on under the hood? Are there maybe hidden infections that you aren't aware of that are causing an ongoing immune assault? Or, you know, are there things like heavy metals stored in your maybe fillings in your teeth or elsewhere in your body? Do you actually have an undiagnosed condition that, you know, you maybe need to speak with your doctor about exploring further? A really common one for women with mental health symptoms is a thyroid imbalance. So, you know, that's the kind of thing that after we've cleaned up all the background, then we can start thinking about what else are we missing here and what else can we clean up that we may not have thought of or noticed before.
You're listening to Through the Eyes of Women. I'm your host, Emma Burkhan, and we're speaking with functional nutrition coach Amanda Malacheski about our physical and mental health. Amanda, when we're talking about our nutrition, do a lot of conversations come down to good food and bad food?
Sometimes, yes. And I don't necessarily like to consider foods bad, with few exceptions. But yes, and the really specific answer is that it does come down to that, but it really comes down to what that looks like for each individual person.
Great, because I have been dying to ask you, when we are talking about the so-called good or the so-called bad, for most of us who are kind of sometimes eating really well and sometimes having a cheeseburger, how do we talk about quantity when we're talking about nutrition and how nutrition affects our physical and mental health? Is one bite of bacon going to mess us up? Is one bite of zucchini going to help us?
I don't know that very much comes down to one bite, but I don't think one bite of bacon is at all a bad thing in most cases. But for me specifically, I have a sensitivity to pork, so I can't eat pork. So yeah, that one bite of bacon actually could harm me. But in the absence of that kind of sensitivity, there's nothing particularly wrong with pork. And the same with zucchini. Zucchini is a fantastic food. Vegetables are wonderful. They have fiber and nutrients and vitamins and minerals in them. And some people find that they have digestive trouble if they eat the wrong kind of vegetable for them. It really largely comes down to what works for your body in particular. You know, we really have to start there. And so, you know, I do a lot of tracking with people to try and help them understand what's working for your body and what's not working for your body. And it's often kind of clear, but we're not generally taught how to look at health in this way and how to understand those signs and symptoms from our body. But yeah, I do a lot of that kind of tracking with my clients.
Is there a little element of privilege here in picking and choosing things that we eat and things that we don't eat and hiring a professional to help us figure it out?
That is an interesting question. I think that the way things are right now, it is somewhat inaccessible for a lot of people, especially this aspect of hiring somebody to help you look at this. I really do hope that at some point in the not too distant future, this model of medical care is accessible to everyone because, you know, we have this really severe health problem in America where 1 in 2 Americans, so 50% roughly, have a chronic health condition, and 1 in 4 Americans has multiple chronic health conditions. And the model that we're working with right now is doing nothing to resolve this problem. It's really just treating symptoms and not addressing the diet and lifestyle piece, which can turn this around, but it has to be so much larger than just, you know, you go to the doctor and you get this advice. It's more that we need public health policy nationwide in all kinds of settings. You know, what do restaurants serve? What do hospitals serve? What can you get in an airport? How do we incentivize health care instead of sick care? It turns out that in the long run, if we were willing to make these initial investments to create these kinds of things, that healthcare costs would actually come down. But we're sort of stuck in this crisis management mode of, you know, oh my God, all these people have diabetes and we have to get their blood sugar down. And oh my gosh, all these people have heart disease. We've got to prevent heart attacks. We've got to get them on statins and we've got to get them on insulin. But if we can help people eat right for their bodies, then they actually can reverse diabetes. It's been done, but there needs to be a political and social will to try this. But back to your original question, I think that anyone can eat healthy, and I think it is possible to eat healthy for low cost, but it's definitely less convenient, and convenience foods are less expensive than healthy foods, and that is a really huge challenge.
Are a lot of us sensitive enough to really recognize how our food is affecting us positively and negatively, or is it something that we sort of have to learn?
I think largely it's something we have to learn. There is sort of a minority of people that are really sensitive already to themselves, and they can tell you, oh yeah, when I eat this, I have this symptom, and if I don't eat enough of this, I have a problem. And some people are really tuned in. I think that's so wonderful. And a lot of other people don't pay a lot of attention to it. And it's usually, you know, it's like if you're not having health issues and you're not constantly dealing with these symptoms, you know, if you're not seeing anything obvious happen, it doesn't really matter to you maybe because, you know, oh, I get an occasional headache and so I take some Advil or aspirin and I'm fine. But when you start having regular headaches, it becomes a question of, well, why? What's contributing to that? What can I do? And it does often take a bit of training. And some people really don't like to do tracking. You know, I send people home with a food diary to write down what they ate and, you know, what their symptoms are. And some people have a really hard time just with that practice of even taking the time to think about their body and notice what's happening.
Indeed. And Amanda, it's really hard to do food tracking, and there are many reasons why somebody might want to do it. Are you able to give us a little pep talk to keep us on track?
To keep us on track. Well, I mean, one of the things I like to tell my students and clients is that, you know, some people have a resistance because they feel guilty or ashamed of what they're putting on there. Like, oh, I know I'm not supposed to be eating those cookies, but I ate cookies, so I don't want to put it on the food diary. And I like to tell people in my practice anyways that that might be an opportunity to have a conversation about the cookies, but it's really just a process of gathering information. Like, again, if you don't have a lot of issues going on, it might not be as useful. But if you're someone who's experiencing a lot of ongoing symptoms and problems, this tool is your best friend, really. And even though it can be a little bit challenging to work it into your routine if it's a new thing, it's just data. And it's maybe not a good short-term success example, but, you know, usually I have clients do it for 5 days at a time, and we come back together and look at them. But for myself, I kept a log for a lot of last summer while I was just getting a lot of practice with this tool, and I discovered that there was a vegetable that was causing me to be constipated. I never would have imagined that that was the case, but using the food symptom tracker, I would just write down everything I ate. I would note the symptoms I was experiencing throughout the day, and I kept being like, why am I getting constipated like this? And so I finally went back through all my records, and I figured out, okay, where's every time I got constipated? Now, what did I eat 2 and 3 days beforehand each of those times? And eventually it became clear that the only thing that was the common denominator was broccoli. And this is kind of one of the really key reasons I like to highlight here, is that sometimes the reactions that are happening regarding food can take 2 to 4 days to show up. And if we're not tracking what we're eating, it's very hard to remember what you ate 4 days ago. So, you know, if you're really trying to solve a mystery and you're really, you know, confused about, I have all these random things and I can't figure it out, the food symptom diary is a really wonderful tool to just take data and don't even think about it until later, you know, but just take data, and then you can go back and try and figure out, you know, what can I learn from this information?
What should we have in mind when we're deciding whether it's time to start working with a nutritional coach?
Well, there's lots of different reasons why someone might want to work with a nutrition coach. My practice is really centered on people who are kind of struggling with a lot of these more complex presentations, and they have a lot of confusing signs and symptoms, things that show up at random times but frequently enough that they're causing a lot of trouble. And I think of myself like a detective, and I work with my clients to just do a lot of this exploration to try and figure out, well, what are we missing here, and what hasn't been considered? What can we try to move the needle on this? But for more general concerns, there's lots of wonderful nutrition coaches out there that are just helping people with basic things like, you know, how to eat a healthy meal and how to prepare a healthy meal, how to bring in healthy lifestyle practices that can support what you're doing. And so a lot of people, maybe people who aren't super sick, often will choose to work with a nutritionist because they maybe want to lose a little weight, or they want to feel just a little better, or, you know, they're confused about what to eat, what should I really eat, those kinds of things. But I really focus on really being a detective for my clients and, you know, working together with them to sort out what's missing here.
And then what are some signs that it's just time to skip straight past the nutritionist and onto the conventional doctor?
Well, obviously, if you have something really dramatic happening, like severe pain, you're bleeding, you know, really severely can't function, you know, if you have a lot of really severe, urgent medical concerns, those are certainly times to go visit the doctor. The challenge is a lot of people do this, and maybe they have these complex presentations, but the doctor will look at them and stabilize whatever's immediately pressing if it's something that's really severe or life-threatening. And then there's just not so much there to offer other than just kind of symptom management. So, you know, a lot of people that come to me have already tried a lot of things and have, you know, struggled. I speak with people all the time who have gone to lots of doctors or repeatedly to their doctor to say, I'm having these symptoms. I really need to figure out what's going on. And they're just kind of told, well, your lab work looks fine. You're not dying. There you go. There's nothing, you know, here you could try this medication that might help. But for a lot of people, those end up causing additional side effects and additional problems. And so it's like if you have this ongoing thing and it's not the kind of issue that can just be quickly resolved with, you know, something like an infection, obviously, you know, say you have a bladder infection, you're going to go to your doctor, you're going to get some antibiotics, it's going to clear up probably, and you'll be done. But if you have like repeated bladder infections and you're no longer responding to the antibiotics and you have pain all the time and they test your urine and they can't even necessarily find that bacteria, you know, it just becomes a different kind of problem to solve and important to maybe try a different approach.
Great. And as we approach the end of our time here today, Amanda, what do you think our growing awareness of nutrition is going to be doing for us in the future of how we treat illnesses?
Well, like I said a few minutes ago, I really just hope that this conversation becomes something that happens in every single doctor's office in America, or the world, really. The data and the research is there to support the clear connection between what people are putting in their bodies and how they live their day-to-day lives, their daily habits, and how those affect the health outcomes that people experience. And I really am excited to see this be something that's embraced in the medical community and becomes part of what they offer their patients, really detailed coaching in how to work with their condition or diagnosis, whatever that is, to bring in the nutrients that are going to support their body in overcoming that, removing the foods that are making things worse, and helping people make those changes. And honestly, that's one of the hardest parts is, you know, helping people make the changes that they need to make. And there's a lot of great models out there right now where people are using group formats in doctors' offices and coaching practices. They found that when people work together in a group on health goals, they have much better outcomes and they tend to be much more successful. So if we could see this really integrated into the medical care system, I think we'd begin to see a turning around of this chronic disease epidemic that we're seeing in America.
Thank you. And last question for you today. What's for dinner tonight?
Tonight, well, my son is homesick today and he requested noodles. So I think I'm going to make a meat sauce with buffalo and some brown rice noodles and probably either a salad to go along with it or some kind of vegetable.
Well, it sounds terrific, Amanda. Thank you very much for joining us today on Through the Eyes of Women.
Thank you so much for having me.
You've been listening to Through the Eyes of Women. I've been your host, Emma Brakan, and I've been speaking with Amanda Malacheski of Confluence Nutrition. To find out more about functional nutrition, visit confluencenutrition.com. Through the Eyes of Women is produced for KHSU, located at Humboldt State University. Thanks to today's engineer and editor, Jesse Eden, and to our entire production team. You can listen to the show again anytime at Through the Eyes of Women's permanent blog archives. Visit our blog at khsuwomen.com and join us again next Monday at 1:30 right here on KHSU.